Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
Hey, Jared.
Oh, we're on. Hey, Adam.
Yes, we are on. I always press record when you're not ready. You should be used to this by now. Welcome into Six Again, guys. This is episode 35 already, and this is our round 8 preview. Big news stories have happened over the last couple of days, Jared.
Yeah, which one do you want to hit first? Which drama do you want to talk about?
Drama, maybe not. Okay, it kind of led from a drama, but did you see Des Hasler's spray at Manly after their big loss to the Sharks?
No, did he have a spray, did he? Did he break the door?
Oh, yeah. No. I didn't actually see it anyway. I just watched the interview that they had with George Tafua about Des Hasler's spray, which is really funny because George Tafua has almost no emotion. But what I did get out of that interview was he looks damn cool in a Sea Eagles headband.
That's one you wanted to talk about, how good George Tafua looks in a headband.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even know Manly made the headbands. I just figured he made beanies, but he's got too much hair for his beanie. And I was just like, oh shit, actually looks pretty good. It's actually quite funny to hear try and discuss whether Hasler was angry or normal and whether he should smile during a spray or not. Why, did something else happen?
Yeah, so I feel like you're missing a few things. So talking about sprays, Wayne Bennett teed off on the Broncos.
Ooh, I did see that. That was hilarious.
And for once, I agree with him. So the biggest knock on Wayne Bennett, every time he leaves a club, it's kind of been in disarray. And you don't believe it the first two times it happens, but the third time it happens, you kind of start believing it. So it happened at the Broncos the first time he left. It happened at Dragons after he won the grand final. And then it was kind of his fault what happened in Newcastle, but he seems to leave a bit of a mess when he goes back. I reckon the Broncos, when they got rid of him this time, they got ahead of that and didn't let him control the roster, control the signings as much as he would when he usually leaves. And I think Seabold walked into a pretty damn good roster, to be honest. He's let go a lot of players. I'm pretty sure he let go Hunt, didn't he? He let go Maguire. Imagine if Maguire was still playing for the Broncos right now. How much of a difference? McCullough, yeah, they've lost. Seabold's left about 500 to 600. Jaden Sewer as well. He's let go.
Well, Bennett kind of took him.
Yeah, and then he let go of Kahu, then signed him back. James Roberts, he let go. So there's been a lot of players that Seabold's let go that Bennett left him. So I actually agree with Bennett for once about the fact that he left that team in a good way. And look, they've still got, I think, 12 State of Origin / internationals.
Seabold kind of got dragged into this argument. So it was the Broncos chairman who came out and made the statement that an excuse that they're leaning on is the misplaced roster and all that sort of stuff that Bennett helped put together. Bennett was pretty quick to say, I think the first thing he said was he was sacked, he didn't leave, but then the fact that Seabold left the Rabbitohs, which is a pretty damn good roster that he had, to take out the Broncos team. You're not going to leave a roster like South Sydney had to go to another club unless you believe that that roster is better than the one that you've got or gives you the best chance of making a grand final. Now, to your point, he gets there and moves on a whole bunch of players. But it's not just him, because Bennett also made it clear that when they signed someone or gave an extension to someone, it was he Paul White, Darren Lockyer, and their chairman. So the four of them all had a say. Nothing was done by one person just by themselves. So it's equal parts. It's not just on Bennett. And then what Bennett's, he dragged Seabold into it saying, they've got, like you said, 12 players with origin or test experience or test or origin talent. They're just not being coached to reach that talent. Or they're not being, they're not showcasing that talent. So I reckon the Broncos should shut the hell up and focus on their own team and try and get their shit together. Well, it's an embarrassment at the moment.
Ever since Bennett and Seabold done this swap, I've actually kind of liked how Bennett's treated, that he's kind of ignored everything. It's been Seabold throwing jabs across the bloody border. I want to know how much time he spent thinking about thinking about Bennett and what he left him in a shit attitude about leaving it. Like, you know, that really bad, oh, he did this to me, that happened, this happened kind of thing. I want to know how much time he spent about blaming others other than actually coaching. Because it's his second year in the team. Like, it's his second year. The closest example you can think of is bloody what Nathan Brown said against Bennett.
If he'd spent more time thinking with him.
Yeah. Little head instead of his little head, which is a joke on the fact that Wayne Bennett's married to the Newcastle secretary apparently. But look, Brown didn't make excuses. He decided to make his roster better and he knew it'd take time. Seabold just seems to be making excuses. That's all it is.
Holbrook's, and at the Rabbitohs, it was just focused on coaching. They did well.
Yeah. Holbrook's not making excuses. Dean Pay's not making excuses. McGregor stood up against that tirade on the NRL 360 show and just went, this is my fault. I'm going to deal with it. Is what it is. Just focus on what you're doing, Seabold, not trying to trade bars with the old coach.
And he might have made like a naive mistake in that you're coming from a very storied club in the Rabbitohs. And yeah, there's pressure on the Rabbitohs coach, but that pressure's evened out because there's pressure on the Roosters coach and the Bulldogs coach and those other big teams in and around that area. Seabold's a Queenslander. He should know what was going to come with this job. And as soon as the first forerunner results or whatever happens, an off-field incident, something, he's got to be ready. And he hasn't been ready. It's like he's going into press conferences with no training. It's almost at the point where he should be going in with a written up press release from their press personnel saying, just say this. Don't say don't be yourself. Just say this until we can get through this show that is the last few weeks.
I know someone in America who needs the same thing. But but of the many things they have in common, one of the things that they do out of Bellamy, Robinson, Hasler, Bennett, I'll throw a few others in there. This is the top man. The elite coaches in the NRL, they don't give a shit about other teams. They couldn't care less about another team. And that's how they're so successful, because they're focused on their own players. They're focused on what their own little bubble can do. And you got... And as I said previously, Bennett's not firing anything at Seabold. It's all Seabold going at him. So it's horrible.
Yeah, it's saying like you're focusing on the other teams. What was it? I think I was listening to this on the ABC commentary on the way home last weekend. They were comparing what was happening at the Broncos, what was happening at the Roosters, in that when Jermaine Asako was playing fullback, he was only given orders to run.
Oh, yeah.
Don't pass. Don't ever pass. Just get the ball and run. Don't do this. Don't do that. Just do one job. I just want you to catch it and run. You compare that to what they...
Every other fullback?
Huh? That was
every other fullback.
You say it at the root. What they say to Desco and the wingers, do what you want. Roam. Be in your position when you need to be, but otherwise have the freedom to do what you want.
Well, I reckon
it's just
The one of the best examples for that would be, I can't remember if it was game two or three, where Nathan Cleary put a kick up in Origin last year.
Yeah.
And Trbojevic ran through and jumped over Kalen Ponga.
Yeah.
Brad Fittler supposedly came out a few months after and said, and while that was happening, goes, what the fuck is Trbojevic doing in there? Trbojevic just went in there on his own back.
Yeah.
He was just, oh, I can do this. Let's just put it up and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what a Sarko should be doing what things, because he's an instinctive player. So it's just ridiculous.
Well, moving off the coaching sort of argument here, but sticking with the Broncos, and we'll relate this a little bit to signings. Titans have come out through the week and made it pretty clear that they've offered or are going to offer David Fifita a $5 million contract, knowing full well that the Broncos aren't going to be able to meet or even get within, I think it's $1.5 million. They're going to be short trying to meet the Titans deal. Now, David Fifita is one of Isaac Moses' clients, or was. He's got some... Well, the contract that he had with him has either another year or an option for a single year. Now, early money says that he's going to sign a one-year deal at the Broncos and kind of see if the club can get back on track. And I guess the gamble he's paying there is... He's taking there is, sorry.
Losing a bit of money.
Yeah, I'm going to be losing money, but I want to be at a club that's going to be successful and have that successful culture. And that's what the Broncos historically have been. That's what I first thought I signed myself to. Whereas you've got the Titans, who actually, if you watch how they play, it shows that they've got a plan building or a plan in place that Holbrook's brought. They're not making any secrets about the players they're trying to sign. Asiata's been thrown up there. They've also already got Tino from Melbourne. Mobile forward pack. He'd fit right in there. Jai Arrow's gone. There's a free back row position right now. Over $1 million a year. And he's a Gold Coast boy. There's a lot playing on his mind right now. It's going to be interesting to see which way you go.
Yeah. I'm 50-50 on whether he's going to sign or not. So Broncos can't match the money. Long-term
or short-term?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I believe he's best. He will do the one-year contract at the Broncos just to see if they turn things around. But in saying that too, they're right. He has more of a chance of being successful at the Broncos. In all reality, Gold Coast has a few years. He's only young too. So if Gold Coast promise him the world and then build their team around him, in 5 years' time, if he's willing to commit like that, they might be a premiership force, because bringing someone like that into the squad might entice other players to come.
We know that Gold Coast has money to splash. I've just brought up the Broncos off contract list for this year. So say Fifita wants to sign for the 1 year short term deal to re-sign the year after. So that'd be for 2021. Broncos, if they want to do that, they've got Jack Bird off contract. I wouldn't see them re-signing him. Herbie Farnworth, they'll probably keep around. Jamil Hoppawattie, probably not. Jordan Carr, who... Richie Kenner, probably not. Reece Kennedy, likely. Isaac Luke, no. Sean O'Sullivan, Corey Oates, Isaiah Parisi, Jake Turpin, and Ilekina Vidogo. So...
And remember, they got $800,000 spare next year because Boyd's retiring.
And you'd say Jack Bird would be not there. So that's about, what's he on?
I reckon Jack Bird will be there.
You reckon?
Yep. 100% guarantee he will be there. Seabold needs that.
Cut his loss. You reckon Broncos their losses?
Nah. They can't afford to get rid of the talent of him right now. And if they get him fit, he is talented and he will be their fullback.
Well, I did say he was going to push for an Origin berth this year, so that went out the window as soon as he got injured. That's a lot.
Yeah, no.
All right, so say you add Jack Bird, Herbie Farnworth, Reece Kennedy, Sean O'Sullivan, Corey Oates, Isaiah Parise, Jack Turpin, Ilekina Vadogo. That's eight. And that's saying that they won't sign Jamil Hopewadi, Kahu, Kenna, Luke.
Well, see, the thing is, I reckon they will sign Hopewadi and Kenna. Not Kenna, Kahu. Because they just signed Kahu again. I doubt they're going to get rid of him again.
Well, he's just injured again, so I don't know.
Yeah.
How much is Fifita going to be on for that 1 year? Because that's a lot of people they need to tie up.
Yeah, I know. And see, that's the thing. Like, he's got the money there, and if he wants to do a John Bateman, he gets the money right. And I couldn't tell you what he's going to do. He's got three options there. He's got four options actually. So he's got go to Gold Coast, stay at Broncos. Go to Gold Coast long term. Broncos long term. Broncos 1 year and see where they're at, or sign with another club. Maybe other clubs out there willing to buy for feeder.
Yeah, it's just which clubs have the money.
I guarantee you, Bulldogs would have the money.
They will, but that brings up
Cronulla
point.
Dragons would have the money.
Yeah.
Raiders probably not.
No chance.
They've got a lot of upgrading to do now.
Well, they can't even afford John Bateman, and they're going to be, he's going to be probably less money than Fifita will be.
Yeah. So they, and like I said, they've got to upgrade a lot. Can you stop chewing on your fingers?
Sorry. I'm sorry. sorry, YouTube people.
Yeah. So he's going to be pretty hot demand. So he's got four options there. I don't know. Because he's been very quiet throughout this whole process, as most of them are. But no matter where he's going to go, if he stays at Broncos, Titans are going to go hard for someone else. Like, they've got a lot of money there that they lost in Fifita. They're going to get someone else, will get probably two or three decent players out of it. So it's going to be really interesting.
Well, you mentioned the Bulldogs before. Now, they're one of the two leading candidates to sign John Bateman. So it's come out yesterday, I think, or today, that Canberra finally officially come out and said that Bateman won't be with them next year. Ricky Stewart's pretty pissed about it. If you haven't seen his press conference or his press release about it, check it out.
Yeah, it's great viewing.
I know. Jared and I are both on the same point of view that these players need to make as much money as they can in the short period of time where they get to be a professional athlete. Because unlike some other sports, there's a very high chance your body's not going to function
much longer, especially how he plays.
100% again after you retire because of the physical impact it's had. So we never get up people for chasing money because their careers are so short. And that's exactly what John Bateman's doing. And we were discussing earlier, his main priority is to get as much money for his daughter, his 10-year-old daughter who's back in England, to ensure that she has the best outcome in life, education-wise, etc. He's out here by himself while she and the partner's in England.
Not her parents.
Huh?
It's not his partner, it's his parents.
Oh, his parents and his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Now, John Bateman fired his agent and then switched to Isaac Moses, the end of last season? Midway through. So there was already rumblings about this leading into grand final week. I don't know. He was on 500 and something grand, right? At 580, I think he was on at Canberra. They were willing to upgrade him to 650, 700, something like that. Mm. And he's pretty much said no to a club that's brought him from England, signed him from England, got into a grand final the first year he's there, has tried to work through, and his other agents just come in and said, you know what? These guys aren't treating you well enough. We can get you better money elsewhere. Let's jump ship. I just don't like how he's gone about this. If if the point was to come to Australia and make as much money as possible, why sign so low to start with? Why not just come out here to meet, like saying, I'll come out for this price. I'm not going to come out for...
Because he's earned it now.
He's earned it. But he came out.
No, big raps. Yeah, he did raps.
Like, he's one of the best.
He still had to prove himself in the NRL. Well, a lot of people... Oh, look at George Williams. A lot of people don't think... He's still got to prove himself as far as I'm concerned. But in saying that too, he's already the best halfback in England. So, like, he's still got to prove himself in the NRL.
Why do our players go to England?
To retire?
Because there's a shitload more money over there.
Yeah, but to retire.
Not always.
That's becoming
less and less common. There's a hell of a lot more young guys over there than old guys.
Like I said, I'm never going to criticise him for searching for money. And I feel like his first year in the NRL was to prove himself personally that he could do it. He's proved it himself. Now he's just going to go, I want money. Don't forget, you said Bulldogs are leading the chase for him. Wigan are also in the chase for him.
They're both offering $2 million.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to Wigan, to be honest. His daughter's over there full-time. He very rarely gets to see her. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he just went back. For him, I reckon personally, he's done everything he can in the NRL.
He could have won... I don't know.
I'm not going
to. He's chasing money, and he doesn't want premierships, and he'll go to the Bulldogs because they're going to offer him the most money over a shorter period of time. Theirs is $2 million over 4 years. No, $2 million over 3 years.
He's already won a Challenge Cup.
Yeah, I know, but he hasn't won an NRL Grand Final. And you're not coming to the NRL to earn money. You're coming here to prove yourself. And if he wanted to earn money, he should have stayed in England. So he's going to get for their own. So he'd be a marquee player. So he'd be on the marquee wages.
Yeah, I just look.
I just think about this the worst way possible. It's like, thanks for letting me come to Australia and signing me and trusting me. By the way, I'll play for you for a season and screw you. I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah, okay. I understand that, but I also understand where Bateman's coming from.
Yes, get the money thing.
No, but you got to ask how much of this is his agent compared to him.
It's making him look like a dick.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I don't think Bateman's been the bad guy here. And I think Ricky Stewart understands that. I think
we were criticising Hooper for releasing this story early, and Bateman criticised him 3 times, and yet it's come out that it was the case.
Well, it wasn't the case at the time. Because
it's been Bateman negotiated six months.
Bateman didn't know he was asking, the manager was asking for a release. The manager was behind closed doors going, you should be paying Bateman more money. If not, I'm going to take him elsewhere. Bateman didn't know at the time.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem. So Hooper was correct, but instead of going, Bateman's manager is requesting a release or threatening the club that he's going to request a release, he said Bateman's requested a release. And Bateman's turning around and goes, I have no idea about this.
To me, that's also like, if your agent or manager or whatever is doing that, that's still on you as a player to be aware of it. Because if we're going to blame Melbourne Storm for their salary cap when the players didn't know what was going on, you've got to blame the players when something like this happens as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. But in saying that too, how do you know how much the manager's telling him? And if Bateman's telling him, get as much money as you can, and he's like, yes, I'll do that. And that's how he went about doing it. And then he turned around and goes, oh, Bateman, we have to leave Canberra.
Mm. I don't know.
But
right now, I wouldn't mind if he goes back to England. So he's left a bad... putting himself in the best light. I'm just comparing all the other English forwards who've come out here. And they've all been along the same lines. It's, we can earn more money in England. We want to prove that we can do it in the NRL. Thing you, Gareth Elliott, Sam Burgess,
I think a lot of player manager tactics have been exposed in this year. So
for the better,
which is for the better, because people, you know, last year it's kind of rumored that players managers cause them problems. Now it's kind of like gone well and truly out there that Ricky Stewart's blatantly said that in a press conference now. So, and it's come out that Isaac Moses tried to hold Broncos hostage and, you know, shit like that. And whatever happened at the Warriors was supposedly managers were to do with that. So it's very, I don't know how long these managers are going to last.
You know what would help clear this up, I reckon? Make all of their wages public.
Nah.
It's like they do it almost every other sport in the world, because it'd be...
I like giving them privacy.
Transparency. I love all that stuff. Part of being a pro athlete.
I don't need to know how much money they're on.
It's transparency, because then if you go, oh, so-and-so's trying to get him this much money, everyone's like, yeah, but...
Yeah, but no one's going to believe him. No one's going to believe it. A couple of days ago, it came out that the Roosters... And this is officially from the NRL. Mm. The Roosters are $400,000 under the salary cap.
Mm.
No one believed it.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, it should be just... No,
but that's the thing. Like, they're telling them this.
Yeah, but...
It's been officially told.
Someone's telling you something and you...
No, no. The NRL, NRL releasing the books. Roosters agreed to release their books, which they did. Found out they're $400,000 under. The transparency you're talking about, people still don't believe that they're $400,000 under.
Well, that's all right. That's up to them then. But if it's actually public, you can see it, you can access it, then it's up to...
It is public. You can access it.
Every player's salary.
And the Roosters, yes. You can see their entire salary cap. They release their books to the public.
Oh, that's nice. I think that should be... There's a great site called Cap Friendly, where you can get a bunch of different sports, huh?
Cat friendly.
Cap, as in
cap. I thought you meant cat as in meow cat.
No, it's got the salary cap. It's got every player. It's got how much they're on for how many years. You can see when you're off contract, etc. And it balances out the salary cap for every year. I'd love to get that, because then when you got Fifita and that being offered $900,000 a year, and you're like, well, that's the same amount that Tamalolo's on, but in saying that, he signed 5 years ago when the thing was at this. It just gives bigger transparency between players. And we can then hold players to account based on performance, and it allows for performance indicators and all these incentives of contract.
You still got people coming out and saying they're lying.
Yeah, they can still do that. But if there's more, it's easier to say that they're lying when we've got nothing to actually see as tangible evidence. So,
but you do for the Roosters.
And if it's out on an independent site, not on like an NRL site or a team site, it's even greater clarity, because then there's no...
Right, so you reckon, you believe a third
party... Yeah, like an independent party. Yeah,
righto.
And independently runs that. Anyway, we haven't even talked about any games.
Yeah, who pays them, by the way?
Sorry?
Who pays that third party?
Oh, like Cap Friendly.
Yeah.
I've no idea. I think they're an individual entity.
Yeah, that's the thing. Who pays them to go explore the books?
Oh, the books are public. That's what I mean. They don't have to explore them. Anyone can access them and have a look. Yeah. And if you've got enough people doing it, they all cross-check out anyway. Warriors. Just a change topic. We mentioned last episode, David Fusatua, Ignatius Parsi, Ken Mamalo, maybe seeking returns to New Zealand. What they're trying to do first is get their families into Australia instead. Families have been knocked back a visa request by the Australian Border Patrol. Three players are given till round 10 for the subject or the matter to be settled. Otherwise, it looks as though they will be going back to New Zealand.
Can't blame them either. Families.
Sorry?
Well, I think one of them's got 4 kids back home and his wife's the sole care of them. Another one's just about to have a baby, and I'm pretty sure the third just had twins or just had a baby recently. And to be honest, you can't blame them.
No, you can't blame them. So just giving updates there. So Well, no, the matter's been brought up to Vlandys and Annesley. They're working supposedly with Border Patrol to see if there's something that can be done. If not, the Warriors will be looking at new loanees. Now, this is different. They haven't been looking for loanees in the back line as of yet. They've been mainly concentrating on the forwards. So they'll be starting to look, I guess, for names being put out there with regards to signings.
So for the outside backs, I can think of a couple they might be aiming for. Is O'Neill playing regularly for the Cowboys?
Yeah.
He is. So there'd be an outside back up at the Cowboys like Gideon Gallimore-Mosby. He'd be half decent for him. Was he? Okay. Richie Kenner for the Broncos. Looks like he's not going to get a run. Corey Oates. Looks like he's not getting a run either.
Oh, no. They won't release Corey Oates.
No. There's Stafford Toa from Newcastle.
Tau Moga.
Yeah. Will Sebastian. Smith. Oh, not...
Is it Sebastian Chris from the Raiders?
Yeah, him too. There's a lot of players out there who they could be targeting to get these players. And look, there's probably a I'm going to go through it and announce and probably go... I can probably announce a pretty good team to put on the field as this lone players for the Warriors. I'm going to do that over the next week, until Sunday night, sorry. And announce a team, just a lone players that you can come up with. Because I reckon there'd be a few, to be honest.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, just come up with a lone team. Just
you got Sandor Earl from Melbourne.
Well, you got that Nico Hines too. He's pretty good.
Yeah. So there's a few names. There'd be a few for Manly.
Oh, you guys can't do me. You got too many injuries.
Yeah, we got too many injuries. So
no, there'd be...
You go.
Well, do you know what? Do you know what they should? Bloody, what's his name? The winger for the Roosters. Young, really short, built one.
Ryan Hall.
No, the other one. The other winger they brought in.
Oh, Matt Ikavalu.
Him. Why not? Yeah. I'd go for him. He's got a lot of NRL experience and he's third behind because, you know, they've had a few injuries in the outside. They had two injuries in the outside backs on the weekend. He didn't even get a run.
Now, you got Tupou, both Morris's and Ryan Hall ahead of him, so...
And Orbison.
And Orbison, that's true.
Yeah, so...
Something to keep an eye on. So, we got 2 weeks till that. Another thing happening around round 10. So, we mentioned Melbourne Storm have set up camp up on the sunny coast. They've now requested of the NRL whether they can host home games on the Sunshine Coast. And it's their feeder club. It's first-class training facilities, the stadium there. And the field there is beautiful. It held an NRL game last year, the Round 10 Warriors Rabbits, and it was meant to hold that same game again this year. It held up fine because at the moment, Storm are playing home games out of Suncorp, like Thursday night's game against the Roosters. But the Round 10 throws a spanner in the works because Super Rugby starts back up and the Reds will be using Suncorp for that week. When the Storm have got a home game. So they'll be stationed on the Sunshine Coast, but playing their home games out of the Gold Coast, which is just going to add even more travel on. So I can't see any reason why the NRL would say no to that. We've both been to the stadium at the Sunny Coast.
I've played on it.
Yeah, Jared's played on it. It's pretty easy to corner off. There's only one road that goes past it on the stadium side. It's pretty easy to limit who gets in and out.
Yeah, no, they do tickets and everything like that. They got one side of the stadium, the other side's a hill.
Yeah.
Look, when they play the Sunshine Coast Rugby League Grand Finals there, I tried to sneak in, I couldn't do it. Look, they need a place to play. They can't play at Suncorp that night. Seriously, man. Again. they need a place to play that night. I don't see why it's a problem. The only other place they can probably take it is Redcliffe because they've actually got the like the facilities there, but Sunny Coast is probably better facility. So
yeah, it's better. It's newer. It's so that's something to keep.
I wouldn't be surprised if. Oh, where? What date's that? Because if Gold Coast have a home game that weekend, maybe.
No, I think they've already cross-checked that they don't. So, but that's still just from Sunny Coast to Goldie. That's at least a 2.5 hour drive if you're on a bus to Robina from Maroochydore, without traffic.
Kawana.
They're
you say the 17th of July?
Around 10.
Yeah. So funnily enough, Gold Coast are playing Melbourne.
Oh, is it? Is that it's Melbourne's home game? Okay. That's pretty good. Oh, so yeah, they definitely want you'd rather Gold Coast drive up 2 hours to the coast than to drive down there. So that's something to keep an eye out on. Men of League. Now, this is really cool. So, have you ever heard of Dry July, Jared?
I've never partake, but yes, I've heard of it.
Cool. Sportsbet has partnered up with the Men of League Foundation to do Dry July. So, for rounds 8 to 11, for every post-try celebration,
I've seen this.
Is going to donate $5,000 to the Men of League Foundation, which is freaking awesome. And for particularly creative or celebrations that involve multiple team members, they'll double that up for $10,000. So you're thinking a Greg Inglis Goanna would get you $5,000, whereas I hate to say this because it's still in my memory, a New South Wales hand grenade, freaking Brian Fletcher, that'd be like a 10 grander. So I can't wait to see some of this stuff. It's something.
Do you know what would be awesome? Someone does a Mark Riddell and goes sits amongst the cardboard cutouts.
Oh, and starts reading the paper.
No, he started clapping himself.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's the one. He started clapping. Or a Fui Fui Moi Moi in the Super League where he scored the try and just kept running up into the stands and he just kept going. Obviously, as long as it's not degrading to the other team
I don't care if it's degrading to the other team. It'd be awesome. I know.
That's a celebration enough. But
but the celebration.
Celebration.
Well, see, the thing is, talking about degrading, I guarantee you, if you show Gordon Tallis the hand grenade,
like going up and doing it like at a play, like mocking them and that sort of shit. I hate that.
Yeah, okay. But that happens now every time Lee Lewis scores.
Yeah. What's your go-to? If you score a try, what was your go-to celebration?
I got to score a try first.
That's true, actually.
I'm not big on that.
I first saw this one in the NFL and I've kind of stolen it. Like when we do teacher versus student touch footy games or anything like that, score a try against the students, it just feels good. Yeah, it's like got the ball on the top and you spin it so it spins on its top. And you run around it like hot hands, like it's a little fire. Freaking love that one. It's sick.
Are you like, does it make you feel big picking on 15-year-olds?
Yeah, because they're really good. They're a shitload faster than I am now.
Yeah, fair enough. Man. Look, it's really good. I reckon it's great. And we've said it all along, creating the atmosphere at games. It hasn't happened in rugby league for a long time. So good on them.
That's going to be sick. Now, that's actually been a really good chat. We haven't even talked about any games, but the biggest story that kind of the NRL's kind of thrown out there and then just smoothed over real quick and no one's really talking about that I've seen, that they've changed the six again rule again.
So, I reckon there's a conspiracy theory behind it.
Anyway, so we've brought up issues with it already with regards to teams not being able to choose between penalty and six again. Refs can now decide between penalty and six again at the whim of their discretion. One thing that we've said, if you want to give out a penalty, just jump offside at marker and tackle them. Now, that's just going to be a six again call. So I think Graham Annesley said this is a very superficial change. That's absolute bullshit because it's a huge change. one, people aren't even going to know what the hell the six again's for. We kind of don't know anyway because the rest don't explain themselves. And what was your point beforehand, Jared?
Well, they don't have to know what's going on. They've been very pedantic about the whole situation. A lot of really small penalties, like...
No, I mean, we'll get to that bit. I mean, what was your... You had a point specifically about the markers with regards to trying to call six again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. My point was that they're going to be calling that because the penalty for a marker not being square can't be called until the ruck's cleared.
Yeah.
So after they pass the ball out of dummy half. So they could be passing the ball and it could be in a front rower's hand when he calls six again. Or yep, it could be swinging out to the back line when he calls six again.
Yep.
So it's just... I criticised it a fair amount when it came on. I don't believe it hasn't worked overly bad. But I think this has taken it just a step too far.
Yeah, it's... I think it's the first time where Vlandys is clamouring to put a band-aid over a mistake that he didn't foresee coming.
Yeah.
He knew that he knew that coaches were going to try and get around it. That's their job. We picked up on that the day it was announced. But to your point just then pairing that with my point, I think rugby league refs need to be mic'd up more, kind of like they are in Origin in Union, because in and around the ruck, ref can see things in Union you can't see on TV because there's bodies in the way. So when they make a penalty call and they say it over their microphone, it's over the speakers in the stadium as well as on TV. Now, at the moment, our refs are just calling six again and you're kind of like...
What for?
What for? Sometimes you can hear it hand on the ball or holding him down or whatever, but that's only every now and then.
And but we have heard a lot more this year because there's been no
crowd.
Crowd. When Origin comes around, shit.
Oh, if you're at the game, you're going to be like, so Queensland just had 18 tackles in a row, and I'm not sure why, but
yeah,
it could be any one of these number of rules.
Yeah.
And Graham Annesley saying it's a superficial change. It's completely different because to me, it's when it came in, it changed the fabric of the game in that first week. It was something completely different. And then teams got used to it tactically. Like I said, it's going to take a year and a half, 2 years for them to get used to it physically. So it's a lot of adaptation your body has to make.
Yeah.
And then kind of the third, fourth week, it was a good balance. There was enough tactics there to slow it down, but if you're still good enough to expose it, you could still use it. And there was less, I'm not going to say there's less blowouts. There's been some absolute smashings, probably more than, I remember. Paul Green's come out and said, the refs are already trigger happy enough as it is. Like, there's six again calls coming left, right, and center, and a hell of a lot more than there were ever penalties last year. Like you said, they're looking for every single thing. And the downside of that is the amount of offsides that they're now missing because they're so focused on the ruck. There were some great pitches last week. I'm sorry, Melbourne fans and Melbourne. I know you get picked on a lot. You're not the only team who do this. But there were three or four players 2 meters offside because the ref was so focused on the ruck. What the hell are the touchies doing?
Yeah.
Like, step up.
Yeah.
If you're going to put so much emphasis on one area and it's going to be overly critiqued, everything else better be freaking top notch.
Yeah. Which, for the system to go ahead, to be honest, it wouldn't be a bad idea if they brought back the two referees. So one person behind the ruck looking for any infringements and the other person looking at the offside. If the touchy's
well, that's what it was.
Yeah, but that's the point. So like you said, a lot of people are going to be offside. And to be honest, you can't blame the referees for this.
No.
Because they're being told to look at the ruck exclusively to follow through this rule.
Yeah.
If the touchies aren't doing their job, which they need a talking to,
yeah,
then you got to talk about bringing another ref on the field. So if that keeps up, you got to talk to the touchies about, mate, you have to have one behind the ruck who's closest to you to watch for forward passes, and then one in line with the referee at the defensive line. That's how it's always been. So you have one, looking at forward passes, the other one looking for offsides. That's how it should be. So the person behind the ruck does the whole offside of kicks. He looks for forward passes, playing knock-ons, little things in the ruck. The guy on the far away looks for offsides. In junior footy, it's a lot of looking for mouthing off players too, stuff like that. And the referee exclusively looks at the ruck. That's the only way it's going to work, but it's not working that way yet.
I think Flynn has also said, like, everything will have a review at the end of the season, as they always do. I don't like the fact that this has come out 2 days before a game, so now the refs, players and coaches have to get used to it. I could see a world where the six again rule will stay, but two refs will come back in. I think that's going to be a balance that they'll look for. And I think the two captain challenge idea is pretty cool if it limits the amount of use that the bunker is used. What I would be saying as a coach this week or from next week, no, I agree. Oh, sorry, I just said that out loud. Jared just sent me a message in the chat and I said it out loud. If I was a coach, I'd just be telling my team no markers.
No, you can't do that.
Why not?
Damien Cook will have a bloody wet dream over that.
I'd be implementing like a touch football style defense where you alternate your defenders, one up, one back, just in and around the ruck. Two come up, make the tackle. Next two do the ruck and you just shift in one and they come back into that gap that's been created. Because pretty much at the moment, there's only one marker, even if there's two standing there, because one's like 4 or 5 meters behind the play of the ball in no man's land.
I wouldn't go as far as maybe one marker. I always said that one marker, because right now, a lot of coaches are trying to put 13 in the defensive line. So they bring their fullback up, especially when they're on their own line, which limits their opportunity to stop kicks. When you're within your 10 meter line, a lot of players have one marker only. A lot of teams only have one marker. I would do that all over the field. So you got 12 in the defensive line.
Yeah.
One mark would probably be pretty effective, and all he has to do is stay there. He doesn't have to chase. You got your defensive line speed for that. So
I'm just trying to think of other ways I can give away penalties in and around the ruck.
There's a million ways you can give away penalties. Just do a high tackle.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. Fuck. I'm sorry. I'm going for another tangent. I'm sick of the refs stopping the game for injuries.
Oh yeah, everyone is.
That's all right. Okay. You reckon they'll just start pulling an injury in the play of the ball now to slow it down? Why not? Yeah. You know, the ref's going to stop it.
Okay. If
you're a defensive team and you get injured, it should be play on because the attacking team gets the advantage.
All right. So we'll start on the teams now.
Oh, yeah. Games.
So this will drop on Thursday morning. So tonight's game. We're not going to go through the players because this thing's gone on for 6 hours already. We'll just go on to the highlights of every game. So
when we say players, we'll do big ins or big outs, but we're not going to run through your standard team.
Okay, so Melbourne and Roosters are playing against each other tomorrow night. It's going to be a good game if Melbourne can step their game up. The biggest out for Melbourne would be Munster.
Yeah.
And instead of resisting the call to put Smith at halfback, which he played last week, they've put Jacks at 5/8 and Hughes at 7. Yep. I believe this is the reason that Roosters are going to win because both of them haven't been in great form all year.
And also, Paul Morosky gets a start for the Storm in the Senate. Try Hall last week.
And Tedesco's back.
Yes.
Which we all kind of expected. So they're at the full strength of back line, which is really good. and really bad for the Roosters.
And with we know last week, two ACL injuries to the Roosters with Radley and Beryls. So Nat Butcher, who's a damn good young player, will be the starting lock for the Roosters going forward. And Jake Friend will be playing 80 minutes for the foreseeable future. Because you're looking at the Roosters bench, there's no one there that will be able to cover hooker except for maybe Mitch Orbison. If
he can cover everywhere, it's fine. It's fine.
So outside of that, there's no other big calls there. You'd like to be able to take something out of the Storm's win last week, but it was 50-6. But that was after Steve Kearney being sacked. Storm being pretty poor the week before, they would have got a rocket from Bellamy as well.
I would say Roosters would win with Cam Munster there. I don't believe they can win without Cam Munster.
I think he's their, he's their most important player. He's taken that over from Smith now.
So I'm putting on Roosters to get at least 12 plus in this game. I don't believe that Melbourne's defense can handle it, and I don't think their attack is good enough to warrant enough tries to make it close. Smith, it's all going to come off Smith. That's what it is, unfortunately. So,
wow! Imagine us talking like that about Melbourne, eh? It's so weird.
Yeah, I know. But in reality, their halves, Jackson Hughes. This isn't Origin time. This is their backup right now. This is like their half strongest squad, and I doubt they're going to be able to handle Melbourne. Their forward pack will do all right, but their back line's just too classy to handle it.
And Pawasa Faamasili, who's been on loan to the Warriors, come straight back into the Roosters team on the bench there. We're both in agreement there. Roosters to get the win on Thursday night. We've got Raiders versus Dragons Friday night. I'm just going to write out tips down.
Okay, so Dragons, Raiders come in. Do you know why Curtis Scott's not playing?
Yeah, he's just been dropped.
Has he? Good.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that. Michael Oldfield comes in the centres.
Oh, and so is Rapana. Sorry.
Rapana got dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Kotrick and Simonson. I don't mind that. And Scott's number 14.
Huh. Oh, sorry. Yeah, stop from the starting side, not dropped. Rapana got dropped completely.
Yeah, and then with Dragons, nothing's really changed. They've still got Clune at halfback and Hunter at 14. Everything else is pretty well the same. I'm going to go Dragons. I have Canberra here, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dragons be able to pull something out.
Yeah, so just to clarify there, because it might have been a bit confusing, Rapana's been dropped from the wing completely, and Bailey Simonson is straight in on the wing, and Curtis Scott has been dropped from starting centre to the bench, and Michael Oldfield has come into the starting side. That means off the... Also, the other one, Corey Horsburgh, like we mentioned, is out 3 to 4 months. With a Liss Frank injury, and Joseph Tarpany's back from injury straight into the starting lock position.
Which isn't like... It would have been funny for the Dragons to find out that Horsburgh's injured and like, oh yeah, they're going to miss one of their biggest enforcers. Then Tarpany just like walks
Tarpany
in.
Tarpany straight back in. Like, so fuck. It's still a really strong looking team from Canberra. Jack Wyden, you could even say, hasn't been in the best form, and he's still been playing really well. We're so used to him being such a consistent player now. Having a look through there. Anything else standing out? Corbin Sims is back in on the Dragons on the bench. I'm not sure if he was there last week. I can't quite remember.
Doesn't change too much.
No, and Jason Saab getting another run. All right, so I'm thinking that's probably the most settled the Dragons have been in a little while. I can't see anyone in the reserves coming in from either side. So pretty much your starting set teams that you see on the list. No late news coming out. Oh, but remembering George Williams had his nose broken last week in the game, so I wouldn't be surprised if they target him early. especially around the head sort of area. Yeah, I'm still going Raiders on this one. Yeah. Down at GIO Stadium in Canberra, so no travel for them anymore.
All right, so for the next game, Parramatta in North Queensland. Big news that come out of Parramatta is with Mitchell Moses being injured, they've brought in the ex-Dragon player, Jai Field.
I reckon that's a cool selection.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's better than having Takarangi there. Everything else is pretty well unchanged, and I doubt anyone out of the bottom four are going to make it. But anything can happen. And then for North Queensland, everything's the same as last week. But don't be surprised. Holmes has got the number 19 jersey on. Don't be surprised if he sneaks on there somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised if O'Neill or Opacek got dropped.
So the news is Cowboys are going to give Valentine Holmes every chance. It's still unlikely that he'll be playing this week. But like you said, he's been named on the reserves. I wouldn't bet on him being in. But we know how important he is to the Cowboys. In saying that, Hamiso Fidao has been playing pretty damn well in his favoured position. So, yeah, if he does come in, like you said, Opacek will probably be the one to...
It'd be interesting what happens with Fido. What happens to Reed, because he, like you said, that is his favourite position. Holmes has got about 5 or 6 years left.
Yeah.
Is Fido going to be happy playing second fiddle?
That's good.
With Holmes the next 5 or 6 years.
He'll go on the wing and O'Neill.
Yeah, but that's my point. That's all right this year.
I think it'll be fine.
I'm talking about next year, the year before, because if someone throws him, you know, here's a number one jersey and a couple hundred thousand dollars more dollars.
He might, but I think we're a fair way off that yet.
All right, so
there's been some whispers that Jake Granville will be coming in because Reece Robson didn't have the happiest time.
Oh, really? But against Newcastle, he smashed
it. No, week before, I think, but...
Okay.
Just to keep him on his toes.
I'm going para. I think a lot of people are overemphasizing how good Cowboys were, but not really focusing on how bad Newcastle were. So
I've got Parramatta on this as well. Even without Mitch Moses, they still found a way to get it done last week.
Yeah.
And Mitch Moses was out of the game pretty early. Jai Field's an exciting player. Dylan Brown will steer him around well enough. And you've also got, Gutherson there. Only other little change, Dave Gower's onto the interchange and Alvaro's off. So they've just switched about the last week. So we both got Eels in that one.
Yeah.
All right. First game on Saturday. The 3 p.m. game up at the Gold Coast, we got Titans versus the Sharks. This could be a lot of points in this game. Titans, we're not going to say they've been playing well, but you can't say they're not playing for each other.
Yeah.
They're putting everything into their games. There's still mistakes there. They're still trying to find combinations, but they're giving every game a crack. And...
I reckon I'm tipping Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm tipping Gold Coast. I don't reckon Shark can hold on to the form they've had. They're just too inconsistent of a team. I'm tipping Gold Coast to win this one. I reckon they
say all that good stuff and now I'm acting all surprised when you go for them.
Well, look, I think they need some fans. And two, I really like what Justin Holbrook's been doing out there.
Yes, sir.
He could have written this year off. Really. Yeah. He could have just been like, oh, well, we'll just keep turning over the same players and this, that, and the other and going, bang, here's a team. I don't care how you go. But he's really been trying,
really made those players play for their spots. And I think everyone in that team has earned that spot. Like Jamal Fogarty, like good on him. Yeah. So I'm going.
Jared Wallace forced his way back in last week and, and had a good crack.
Yeah, so
Roberts hasn't been able to get in.
So they could have just went, okay, Jared Wallace, Queensland representative, I want that experience in my squad no matter how he's playing. He went, no. You're not playing well enough. Go sit on the bench. Yeah. It's not even saying go sit in reserve grade. It's gone, go sit in the bench.
So Dale Copley's out. He just got dropped?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Who'd they bring in? They got Peachy and Kelly. So, I wouldn't.
Because Bryce Cartwright was listed on the reserves, but so he's come in. Sam Lasone moving from forward, moving from start to interchange, a bit of a surprise. But the Sharks only one change there, I think.
Actually, one thing on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
Number 21 is Tyrone Roberts.
But he's been there.
I know he has, but I wouldn't be surprised if they threw him in there just to, especially since Cartwright's the closest thing they got to a utility on the bench.
Yeah, but he's been there for the last 3 weeks and they haven't named him. Andrew Fifita's been named to start this week as opposed to coming off the bench with Uele dropping back to the bench.
That could be a late change too.
Yeah, Bryson Goodwin holding his position on the wing there. Oh, man. I tipped the Titans last week, so versus the Broncos, whereas the Sharks are kind of rolling at the moment, and that combination between Moylan, Johnson, Brayley. I'm going to tip the Sharks, but I'm rooting for the Titans.
Okay, so the next game is the Battle of the Dregs. So you got Warriors versus Broncos. So there's not many that many changes to the Warriors squad. Won't be playing. They reckon they're going to put Hiku at fullback and bring
Jared Beal
out onto the centers. Yeah, that's right. So that's the only real change there. Broncos. Okay. So this is I actually spat out my drink when I read this. So the halves are safe. Croft and Milford are there.
Boy, they're playing so well. Why would you drop them?
Boy is playing the centers. The person they decided to drop was Corey Oates. So he's been the reason they've been playing bad. That's all I gotta say. They got a winger. A winger. Okay, and then oh my god. So instead of going for the throat into the main spine players of the Broncos, Anthony Seibold has dropped his Queensland and Australian winger, which I don't know.
It makes sense to me.
Why is that?
No, it doesn't. It makes sense in the fact that the last 3 weeks of decisions haven't made sense.
Okay, so he wasn't as effective.
I'm not surprised.
It wasn't as effective. So he made 6 tackles. He's a winger. 10 runs to 68 metres. 2 kick returns and one penalty, 2 errors and 1 sin bin. So maybe that's why. But his stats last week were not ideal. But every other player's stats weren't ideal. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
What would your backline be?
For Broncos, I would have everyone was fit or everyone.
No, just the people that they've got for this week.
Okay, so I would have Dearden at halfback, Croft at 6 to give him more room.
Yeah.
Coates in the centres, Farnsworth in the centres, Oates on the wing with Asako. Actually, no, Asako on fullback, and who did they drop?
You drop Boyd and Milford so far.
I would put Kenner on the wing. So I'd have Asako, Oates, Kenner. Then I'd have Xavier Coates in the centres with Herbie Farnsworth, Croft and Dearden.
Not bad.
I don't know why Xavier Coates is big enough to play in the centres. He's athletic enough to play in the centres. The only reason I can think he's on the wing is because they're wanting to kick to him because he's good in the air. Who was it? Who kicks to us? Oh, Pembroke kicked to Villiam kick out. You don't have to kick to the wings. You're allowed to kick to the centres. So,
Where did come from? Was he a Storm?
Yeah, Melbourne player. Played in the wing for like 2 years for him. I really like the idea of Croft at six. It gives him a bit more room to his running game. I really like that because that's what he's best at. And Dearden's an organiser. I like that combination. If you really wanted to have Milford there, you can have him on the bench if you really wanted to because he's only good for 20 minutes. So, yeah. And then you could probably... And then, to be honest, that leaves you open for putting Milford into hooker, which I don't mind. Milford into hooker. He's defensively probably a bit lax, but his speed out of dummy half would be ideal. I love a good, quick replacement hooker for 20 minutes. I love it. Give Luke a rest and then... So that's how I would have it. Would you make any changes?
I'm just trying to find a second centre.
Well, Farnsworth's going to be a centre.
Yeah, I know. I've got him as one. I'm trying to find another one.
You don't want Xavier Coates?
See, I like the idea of him at fullback. I reckon he's got enough. He reminds me he's athletic enough. Okay. He's quick enough.
I don't think he's ready.
He can ball play because he hasn't had the chance to do it yet.
I don't think he's ready. I think
he'd be found out too much one-on-one defensively in the centres.
Over Boyd right now?
Oh, no. Not compared to Boyd, but I'd be running at him just as much as I'd be running at Boyd because he's a big kid, but he's thin. He's not...
Look, I just think you got to try something.
I'd rather him getting the ball at fullback and letting him wind up. And,
well, you know he's 100 kilos.
Yeah, but he's like...
194.
Centimetres. Yeah, I know. He's like string bean. I'd like to see him a bit more. If he's that sort of size, I'd like to see him more like your... trying to think of one who's that tall. Yeah, but that's like Greg Gillings when he was like real young.
Yeah, and they had him in the wing and centres.
Yeah, but he's awesome.
Look, I think the only change for that next year, I think that's their ideal back line. The only difference is they're going to have Jack Bird playing fullback next year.
I agree that's with the only difference. Halves, I'd have Dearden and Croft as well.
Yeah, I really...
Fullback, Asako and Oates on the wings, Farnsworth and... Blah in the centres. Can Richie Kenner play centres? I don't care.
No, I'd have him on the wing. He's short, he's stocky, and he's safe under the high ball. He proved that in Melbourne. Yeah.
All right, in the fourth for the Broncos, Patrick Carrigan's back from suspension at lock, as is Tom Flegler, who's been named on the bench. Jack Hetherington straight in for the Warriors from Penrith on loan. Isaiah Papali'i dropped to reserves. Who are you going in this one? Literally,
I'm going Broncos.
This is out of finals, I would say.
I'm going Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
Out of everyone in the competition, Warriors are the team. Warriors are the team is going through more bullshit than they are. And Warriors actually have a reason for it, so it's a lot more personal to them. They're not this whinging.
Warriors are at home.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This sucks.
It's a horrible game. Yeah, I'm going Broncos because, like I said, they're the only Warriors, the only team that are struggling as much as they are right now. And the difference between them, Broncos have an end in sight because they have the team to pull them out. Warriors do not.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't care.
So... You don't care? You're not going ahead with that one?
Nah.
Just pick one.
Warriors.
Okay, we'll just go against each other.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next game is Penrith versus the Tigers. This is actually be a pretty good game because the Tigers just came into a bit of form.
Yeah, I'm looking at this as my bet of the week, I'm thinking.
Okay, so there's no real changes to the Tigers from last week. And to Penrith, when you look at it, there's no real changes there, which is really good for both teams going in a bit, you know, a bit of consistency themselves. They're both teams that can score a lot of points very quickly.
Yeah.
So it could be a really high scoring game in this game, which would be good.
I know the Tigers beat the Bulldogs last week, and Bulldogs may not be the best yardstick, but that was an arm wrestle game for 20 minutes, the first 20 minutes, and you don't link West Tigers and arm wrestle very often, but they showed that even though they can do it to start with, they also didn't give the Bulldogs a lot of space. That Bulldogs did turn it on for a little bit. Got to say, Kieran Foran, from 1 week to the next, holy shit, he's lost some weight. He's looking.
Yeah, well, he started playing again. Yeah,
Matt Penrith has locked down that lock position.
Yeah, for Penrith, Mansell's come back in the squad.
Yeah,
probably rest week. I'm going.
Elijah Taylor there on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go probably Penrith going to win this, but I hope Tigers win.
You going Penrith?
Yeah. Where are you going?
Penrith as well. But I think this could be
100 points scored in this game.
Now, if you're chasing a little bit of value, Tigers are just head-to-head at 260. But if you only go a little bit, if you reckon Tigers can get across the line, I think it's still going to be close. 1-12, they're paying 360. That's quite juicy odds. I wouldn't even mind having a look at a draw in this game, $19.
It'd be 50 all.
Yeah, so looking at that, I reckon the best value games would be that one and your Titans at 270 against Cronulla at 147. And Warriors at 265 to the Broncos $1.48.
Jesus.
Jeez, I'm like oof. Warriors 13 plus 570.
Oh, that could definitely happen.
I'm gonna use that as my multi. I'll come back to you on that one. Yeah, we're both going Penrith. Sorry guys.
Okay, so the next game's the biggest one.
Here we go. This is what I'm looking for.
All right, Manly Seagulls versus Newcastle Knights. So you want to go through how many changes you had to make?
Not many, no. Reuben Garrick is getting another crack at fullback. He wasn't overly impressive last week. He hasn't played there for a while. George, who's back in? Moses Suli's back in at centre, which moves Funa back to the wing, and Brendan Elliott has been dropped out of the 17. Martin Taupau's back starting. And they're the only changes. Yeah, so Moses Suli into the centres and Brendan Elliott out of the 17. And, yeah, Martin Taupau starting. With regards to Newcastle... Bradman Best is back in the centres after serving his COVID suspension. Making way was...
Shibasaki.
Yeah. No changes in the forward pack there. And
yeah, Barnett's close, but just a week or two out.
Yeah, and no changes on the bench.
This is going to be my bet. So Newcastle to win at $1.75 with Lachlan Fitzgibbon to be any time try scorer. Gives you a 525 multi. Pretty good. Obviously, I'm going Newcastle this game. I'm hoping that this round proves how good of a coach Adam O'Brien is.
I was really impressed with his post-match press conference.
Yeah, so
midweek press conference, actually. I thought
he pretty much just went, we played like crap. And we're going to handle it, and we were too complacent. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's straight up.
And then Hasler, supposedly gave the boys a spray, and it'll be along the lines of something like, injuries aren't going to be a good enough excuse. He's not one for excuses anyway, Des. So,
yeah. So we, Newcastle lost against Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, and I said I'm really hoping they come back strong. After a loss, like every other good team does. Yeah. I don't believe they did, because they played Broncos and did not play well at all. And then they came out and played to that same level against North Queensland, and they paddled them. So I really hope that Adam O'Brien's the coach we've all been looking for, and he completely refocuses them to where they were three or four weeks ago. That's what I'm hoping.
It's interesting as well. Like, we've talked about, media, players, whatever, I've talked about Manly being a dark horse for the premiership this year. If they lose this week tonight, there's a chance they'll be outside the top eight. Because they're eighth at the moment, and that's only... they're not going to be beating anyone on points differential at the moment. So, yeah, if they lose and Tigers are already above, and one of those teams, 9th, 10th, 11th win, Manly will be out of the top eight at the end of the weekend. So...
I know Hasler said that it wasn't going to be an excuse. I think losing three players is a pretty good excuse. But
at this level, you got to... well, there you go. So Rabbits are on 6, Cowboys are on 6, Sharks are on 6. Sharks have got the Titans, so they've got a damn good chance of picking up a couple of points. They got the Eels. That'll be a tougher one. And Rabbits, where you haven't talked about yet, they got the Bulldogs, so they can definitely pick up too. So there's a very real chance.
Despite all your injuries, Manly is still Manly. You don't walk into a field against Manly thinking you're going to win.
And we're back at
you'll have to as well. Yeah, you're going to have to earn that. And if Newcastle play the way they've been playing for the last fortnight, they're not going to win this game. So and it's going to be...
so...
yeah, so look... I was very positive start of the year, but if they keep playing like they're playing, it's going to be another long year for me.
And Hasler will be going, guys, we're versus Newcastle. They're a bunch of tossers. We hate them. They hate us. Let's go out there and smash them.
And Hasler play in 97?
Yeah, it would have been. he was in the Carroll Harrigan match too.
Yeah. So look,
there's some bad no love lost between these two teams.
I'm obviously going to tip Newcastle. It's also Danny Levi.
Manly.
It's obviously Danny Levi playing his old team.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good. I reckon Newcastle, if they play to potential, are going to win this. But
we're going to try and watch this game together. And if I can't get to Jared's house, we'll be watching it via Zoom. We'll be watching it with our Zoom on, so there could be some pretty interesting videos or pictures being posted, depending on what happens. Should we put a bet on it while we're here?
Newcastle 12 plus.
No, like winner has to do, loser has to do blah.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Let's keep it half civil, but half gross. Loser has to wear the other team jersey.
That's pretty simple. Yeah, that's pretty
and disgusting.
Simple.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Gross. Okay. That's what we'll do. All right, last game of the round. I know it's been a long one, but hopefully you've had fun, guys. We've really enjoyed
talking. Okay, so I just want to throw this out there.
Bulldogs and Rabbits.
You guys did not have... Des has a plan in 97. Your halves were... Jeff Toobey at 5'8" and Craig Field at halfback with Cliff Lyons in number 14.
Oh, so I was going to say, wouldn't Hasler be on the bench?
Nah, Cliff Lyons off your bench. You got a very unknown team. So your team back then was Shannon Nevin at fullback, Danny Moore Craig Innes, yeah. Terry Hill, John Hopewade, Tuvi, Craig Field, David Gillespie, Anthony Colella, Mark Carroll, Steve Menzies, Daniel Gartner, Nick Kosseff, Cliff Lyons, Neil Tini, Scott Fulton, and Andrew Hunter. With the team we have, we should have beaten you a lot easier.
Yeah, but we're made, like, man.
Yeah, no, the Newcastle team's full of really talented players.
Sorry, no, there you go. He finished his last year with Manly was 96.
Oh, so they won the grand final after he left, did he? Oh, well, there you go. That makes sense. Last game in the round would be Bulldogs versus South Sydney. So, Bulldogs haven't got really any surprises. They got Wakem back at halfback with 4 and at 6.
Oh, they've Jake Avrilo.
Yeah, so that's what I was about to say. They got Remus Smith in the centres with Crichton and Meany on the wings. And they got Kerrod Holland coming on at 14.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say Avrilo would have been hard done by. He had a head knock. He's been kicking for him too.
And then South Sydney, they got Roberts in the 4 jersey with Braden Burns dropping. And they've got no real changes after that.
This is South Sydney's full strength team.
Yeah. So Braden Burns isn't even in the 21.
No.
They got Corey Allen in there instead of Braden Burns.
Braden Burns is on the interchange, 17.
Oh, yep. Okay, yep. There you go. Sorry. I'm tipping South Sydney this, but with how inconsistent South Sydney are, I wouldn't be surprised if Bulldogs push this one out of pure effort. But just by quality of team, South Sydney should win.
Now, the really interesting name here is number 21 for the Bulldogs, Luke Thompson. This is the young prop, one of the two best props in England, supposedly coming from St. Helens. So he's coming here. James Graham's going back to St. Helens. Big rats on this guy. Very young, but supposedly quite proven already. I'm really interested to see how this guy goes.
Yeah.
He looks quite athletic. I'm just looking him up here just to get his age right so I don't misquote. There we go. I've got him here listed as a lock.
Yeah, he can play lock.
Oh, yeah, 9,584. Previous club, yeah. St. Helens. So he's 25. All right. Let's have a look. So he's 21, 22, 23 season. He's played 157 games for St. Helens. Yeah, proved to be one of the best props in the competition. Championship side in 2014. Has made man of the match in the Super League Grand Final last year. He was on the English tour last year as well. So, 25-year-old prop, lock still to come into his prime, you'd say. Not a bad comp to be different in. Yeah, I got South in this one as well. So we've got a few that we're differing on again this week, which is good. After my 7 last week. Interesting this week, Steve Roach has come out saying that I wish he hadn't done it this week. I wish he'd done it a previous week or a week after. He's come out and said his starting props for New South Wales would be Regan Campbell-Gillard and Junior Paulo. Of course, the starting props for New South Wales at the moment are David Clemmer and Daniel Saifidi, who both play for Newcastle. So I'm hoping that they have and they want to prove a point because that will come against Manly.
I really agreed with what was said about those two front rows. I reckon they are the form front rows of the competition.
Yeah, I got to
until agree. I heard that Steve Roach said it, and then I was like, yes. Oh well, can't happen then. He is an idiot. He is taking too many head knocks.
Yeah, so on my bet, I started to come back to it. I am going to jump into that Warriors game against the Broncos. It's not a big one. $4.60. It's actually been pretty good for me around that sort of money. So I'm going Warriors to win with Fusatua to score a try at any point. Pretty safe bet you'd look at with regards to Fusatua scoring. It's the Warriors winning that bumps those odds up a little bit. So it's $4.60, Warriors to win by any margin with Fusatua to score. If you jump on Warriors by 1 to 12 in that same one, it jumps up to $6.50. So that'll be my little flutter for the week. Warriors to win with Fusatua scoring a try. It's been a big one, guys. There's been some pretty juicy topics to get into. For once, we've basically agreed on most things, not everything. That's good.
Yeah, but Manly is still going to lose.
Yeah, and you'll be wearing a Manly jersey next week. So that means Newcastle.
That makes no sense.
I know. I don't. No, it didn't. Damn it. What was I going to say? We're halfway to what we need with our subscribers on YouTube to get a personalized, individual, unique URL. So if you haven't done so, jump over to YouTube. It's in the write-up of the episode. Hit that subscribe button and help us get to the magic number of 100. And we will go from there. Anything from you, J-Rod?
I think I've talked too much. I need to go to sleep.
All right.
See yous.
Bye. Manly for life.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.